My name is David J. Harris, Jr. Join me and millions of Americans around the country as we embrace liberty and freedom. This is the David J. Harris, Jr. Show. Hello, friends and family from around the country and literally around the world. This is another episode with your host, David J. Harris, Jr. And today, friends, I have the honor of being back in my home city of Redding, California, to talk to somebody that is making national waves because of his implementation of how you take a city back. Friends, country, all over our country, counties, county by county, are being overran with liberals that are pushing an agenda that is anti-children. They're forcing masks on our kids. They're pushing the vaccine on us. They're doing things that their constituents don't want to see happen, yet it's up to the board of supervisors in your county as to what takes place. Well, what is about to be mainstream media news, what's going to hit all over the country, especially on your liberal mainstream networks like CNN and MSNBC, is that this little county called Shasta that I've grown up in, I was born here in Redding, California, this little town called Redding and this county of Shasta County has done something that's it's so controversial. It's anti-American. They've taken over a county, is what they're saying, and it's a militia that's doing it. It's white nationalists. It's white supremacists that are doing this. A lot of these people are my friends. I guarantee you, I'm not friends with white supremacists. So what is taking place right now is monumental. One of the main board members, he was the chair. He's been a board member for Shasta County for 12 years. Before that, he was a police chief or Captain Moody. He has been ousted. He has been recalled. This has been a year in the making. And one of the gentlemen that's been at the head fighting for this to take place in order for that the board of supervisors to listen to the people is my good friend, Carlos Zapata. Carlos, my brother.
Thanks for having me, David. Good so to see good. You. Welcome home.
Hey, it's good to be home, man, and it's good to be back in the studio with you, you white nationalist supremacist, you.
Can you believe it? I'm still looking for that guy. I'm like, God, man, who's this white supremacist they keep talking about? Carlos Zapata.
Yeah, are you white? No,
I'm not white. I mean, I don't, this color thing's weird, right? It's like, who's darker, who's lighter? I don't know that we should see each other that way. I mean, definitely my nationality is Peruvian. I'm an Hispanic, you know, I have a Latino name. So I don't know. That's for other people to decide what color I am, I guess, you know, but.
That's what the left does.
I'm an American.
Yeah, you know? That's what we should be.
What it comes down to. I've never even been one of these guys who says, oh, I'm a Peruvian American. I'm a Latino American. No, I'm an American through and through, 100%, you know.
That's what we want. That's what we should be all about. We should be about America, America values.
But that's what makes you a white nationalist. When you say I'm an American, when I see somebody flying a flag, you know, I see a patriot. They see an extremist, and that's what we're trying to fight now. This is the kind of tyranny that we're against because you can no longer love your country. If you're a lover of America, all of a sudden you are a white nationalist in their eyes. So
yeah, well, I've been called a white nationalist, so apparently those people are blind or they just don't care the amount of melanin I have in my pigment.
It's an easy
in my
title.
Skin, but so you've been very key. You played a key role in this recall. I mean, I remember when I saw the video, which we'll show you in just a second, I shared this on my Facebook page. It went viral. I mean, it had, I don't know how many millions of views, but it was you speaking to the Board of Supervisors, sharing what was on your heart and what was taking place in friends of yours.
Yeah,
I mean, because of the lockdowns, had committed suicide.
Sure.
The board wasn't listening to the people, and you were representing the people, and the people were behind you, but the board didn't want to hear what you had to say.
You know, that moment that everybody saw, you're right, that went viral, was a moment in time where frustrations had boiled over. At that time, I didn't plan that speech. I didn't go there to speak. I kind of got thrown in there by Alyssa McHugh. She said, hey, you got to speak before you leave. Here you go. Open the door, rolled me in. And what I said at that moment was exactly what I felt the people around me and the people around the country were feeling, because there was a lot of frustration, there was a lot of worry, a lot of stress, and I saw what it was doing to people. You know, I saw that it led to friends committing suicide. I saw that it was leading to people losing their jobs, their livelihoods, going into depression and going back to their old ways of alcoholism and drugs. And, you know, you started to see families fall apart. So what you saw there was a moment of extreme frustration where I had to shake them and say, hey, wake up. You know, we're here. We're here because we care. We're here because we want to participate in this process, but we're here because we want to hold you accountable. And we need you to be accountable. We need you to work for us and work with us.
And so, friends, that's exactly what has to happen. I mean, you know, Donald Trump, in my opinion, didn't lose the election. In my opinion, it was taken. It was stolen from him. The Democrats were very crafty in how they allowed certain voting laws to be passed right at the last minute to allow this massive mail-in voting. They used COVID for massive mail-in voting. I think now that's kind of law of the land here for California is mail-in voting. I'm not sure how any election in California is ever going to get one again on the state level. But when it comes down to what's taking place in your own city, you got to do what Carlos and his group have done, which is go after the county board of supervisors that are not representing the will of the people. And that's what you've done.
Well, and the Constitution, more importantly, you know, and I say this, like, first we elect you to uphold the Constitution. So everything that you do, everything that you pass, every policy, every mandate, every bill, you know, everything has to line up with what the Constitution says you can do. If it doesn't, then you're out, you know? And then secondly, yes, you have to represent the will of the people, you know, so long as that falls under, you know, number one, which is the Constitution.
Yeah.
And we just weren't seeing that. We were seeing the most overreaching state government that we have ever seen as long as I've been alive. And we're seeing a state government that wants everybody to be on the government dime without everybody working for the government. That's what we've seen. They've weaponized this COVID against us, against business owners. You know, how are we supposed to hire people when people are getting paid to sit at home? How are we supposed to run our businesses when people are getting paid to do nothing?
Yeah.
So this is the battle that was, you know, coming at that moment. And I saw the writing on the wall. I knew it was going to get worse. So we had to do something right then and there. Listen, this has been probably the hardest fight I've ever been in. You know, if I'd have known it was going to be this difficult, you know, I would have prepared a lot better. And as we're talking to other counties last night, we had a great Zoom call with Nevada County, and a lot of that conversation was just around preparation and preparing them mentally for what's to come. Cause this is not an easy task, but we had so many great people, great citizens, great patriots that pulled together, and you know, really were the spearhead for this great awakening, as I'm calling it, you know, because people are waking up and they're realizing that what happens in DC is important, but it's not affecting my everyday life. What affects my everyday life is local government, and all government at the end of the day is local government. So if I can't control that, then I have nothing that affects me daily that I'm actually participatory in. And that's all we want. We want to be able to affect what we do daily here in our homes and in our businesses, in our county. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do it. And we'll talk about this, about how this process unfolded, but it was a huge win for us to oust a supervisor, Leonard Modi.
And it was a difficult task too. And one that took, I think, over a year, right? The recall started over a year ago, but he was standing in the way of the will of the people. You know, like you said, this is the thing, friends, is this is happening all over the country, where communities that are supposed to be and historically have been conservative, more Republican communities are kowtowing to these Democrats that may be the governor, that may be the state legislator. They're kowtowing to these mandates coming down from the state, and they're pushing it on the people in these counties that are conservative. And so what you wind up with is realizing who that's running your county, your board of supervisors, who's actually there for the will of the people, or who's actually going to kowtow to the Democrat agenda.
It comes down to money. You know,
exactly.
So you have to follow the money.
You guys have done that. You guys 100% have followed the money.
We've had such smart people, you know, who have taken the time and have put forth the effort to look at everything line by line, to run audits on our budgets, to run audits on the money coming in, money going out of our county. And it's really disgraceful. What we found out, it's almost like you want to peek behind the curtain, but then you really don't want to see what's back there, and you wish you never had, because it's so horrible. You know, when you're looking at these bloated departments within our own county government right here in Redding, California, Shasta County, you know, departments that are spending $10 million a month on just payroll. You know, I mean, what costs that much? You know, government should be less, people should be more. But now, here's what I need people to understand. This is a two-way street. So I cannot ask for less government and shirk my own responsibility as a citizen. So if we're going to ask for less government, then the citizens need to step up. Churches need to step up. You know, community organizations need to step up to do the things that we don't want government to do, because they do it very inefficiently. And I feel that the private sector can do it way more efficiently.
Let's go back to this video. When I first saw this, I was like, that's Carlos. I'm like, I know Carlos. We're friends from, you know, when I was in when I was here in Redding, and I took even some classes from you, right? Mixed martial artist,
Yeah.
veteran. You're somebody that was here in the community good business owner and playing a role for this community, caring about this community that I care about. I love Redding, California. It's my hometown. I always say this.
And likewise, it's been cool to watch your rise, you know, and your voice speak. And it's pretty cool that from this small county, we're seeing these voices that are being heard across the country. So Shasta County, for once, I think is attracting the eyes of the country for a good reason.
Yeah. Well, and what you guys are doing here, and you've labeled this red, white, and blue print, it's something that counties around the country are watching and have seen the success and are now reaching out and saying, how can we do the exact same thing? What did you do? But let's go back to where it first started. This is Carlos Zapata in the summer of 2020 at the beginning, it really was the beginning now of all these pandemic lockdowns and whatnot, the toll that it was taking on businesses, on friends of yours. This is Carlos Zapata speaking to the Board of Supervisors of Shasta County.
I don't blame you for wearing masks because I'd be hiding my face too if I was you. I'm telling you right now we're being peaceful. And you better be happy that we're good citizens, that we're peaceful citizens. But it's not going to be peaceful much longer, okay? And this isn't a threat. I'm not a criminal. I've never been a criminal. But I'm telling you that good citizens are going to turn into real concerned and revolutionary citizens real soon. That we're building, we're organizing, and we'll work with law enforcement or without law enforcement. But you won't stop us when time comes because our families are starving. Because this is a warning for what's coming. It's not going to be peaceful much longer. It's not going to be rah-rah. It's not going to be speeches. It's not going to be gathered outside saying a Pledge of Allegiance. It's not going to be waving flags. It's going to be real. When you've seen the things that I've seen, I went to war for this country. I've seen the ugliest, dirtiest part of humanity. I've been in combat, and I never want to go back again. But I'm telling you what, I will to save this country. If it has to be against our own citizens, it will happen. And there's a million people like me, and you won't stop us.
So very passionate, very heartfelt. And I heard what you meant, right? I felt your heart in there. But that clip is now being used by liberal mainstream media networks to paint you as this type of white nationalist, you know, militia leader, the Cottonwood Militia. Yeah. When I heard about the Cottonwood Militia being painted as this white nationalist, you know, it sounds bad, but even the Cottonwood Militia is something that law enforcement would actually use because it was patriots. It was people that stood up for the protecting, you know, the innocent and being there when, you know, Cottonwood's kind of out in the skirts. It doesn't really have its own department, mm-hmm. police department. It's like, hey, the Cottonwood Militia. These are good guys. They'll help us enforce the law. It's something that was a good thing. But the mainstream media, the liberal networks, I'm sure CNN, right? Anderson Cooper, they're going to have you on. CNN interviewed you. I'm sure they're going to paint you into some white supremacist nationalist, you know, militia, you know, leader, this ringleader for taking over a city that's like the KKK's coming back.
I think they have like this image in their minds, you know, of these guys with guns and long beards and camouflage and painted up, like stomping on top of the Board of Supervisors meeting, you know, taking it over. This has been the most peaceful political process that we've engaged in. We've engaged a mechanism, and you know, we've implemented a mechanism that is there by the Constitution for us to do this peacefully.
Yeah.
And here's what they don't understand: that warning was not, "Hey, we're coming for you right now." This is a look. I'm warning you guys. I'm giving you guys the gift, you know, of foresight here. I'm telling you, if you guys don't change course here, if you guys don't change, you know, direction, this is what's going to happen because citizens in America will not stand by. They're not going to stand by and watch their rights stripped away. So let's engage a peaceful political process, which is exactly what we did.
Yeah.
You know, there was not one threat of violence. There was not one person hurt. There was not one person, you know, who was threatened as they claim.
No rioting in the streets
nothing,
like BLM.
Nothing.
You're not burning down police stations.
Nicest, most beautiful political process that could take place. You had, you know, I call them soccer moms because you had these brilliant women, you know, these mothers who really spearheaded this thing. I was just the voice because of the speech that I originally gave, and I've been involved throughout, you know, as has many other people. But the people that really did the work were ladies, were mothers, because mothers care about children more than anything, you know, and at the end of the day, this is what this was about. This was about saving our children, making sure that they were protected, making sure that they weren't damaged by these mask mandates. Now the vaccine mandates, and this is long before the vaccine mandates even were a thing. So imagine what that speech would look like today, you know?
Yeah.
But let me tell you that I'm very proud of what we did here. I'm proud of what these people did. Everybody pulled together, many groups pulled together, and we did something that is really statistically impossible to do, you know, and it wasn't by violence. It was through a very peaceful political process. process. So,
and that is how you take your country back. I'm going to get to what the mainstream media and some of these networks, this Rashid, what's his name?
Dr. Rashad Ritchie.
Somebody that's being touted and promoted by, the Young Turks, this very progressive Democrat, Occupied Democrats, this very progressive group. Before we get to that clip, though, bring it in right here. I'm going to do a quick word from my sponsor. Friends, if you love the David J. Harris Jr. Show, if you like the guests that I bring and the news that I bring and the truth that I bring, one of the best ways you can help support me, my number one sponsor is still Mike Lindell. He loves my show. He loves the truth that I try to bring, and he's continuing to be canceled everywhere. He said he's keeping the code Trump 2020 up because he believes that 2020 is going to be a year that everything pivots in our country. So use the code Trump 2020. Go find yourself something nice over at MyPillow.com. I've got his sheets. I've got his mattress topper. And then I got his mattress. I love all of them. Whether you need a mattress or a mattress topper or robe or slippers, get to MyPillow.com and use that code Trump2020. You get the best discounts on his site. And Michael, know that you heard it here from me. All right, Carlos, so let's get to what these liberal mainstream networks, this Rashid, this you guys promoted by the Young Turks, listen to the light that he's trying to paint you in and the Cottonwood Militia.
And I haven't seen this yet, by the way. So this
you haven't?
No.
Oh, this is going to be good. All right.
They ousted him. This feels very much to me like the Nazi Party in the early 30s of Germany. That's what Mr. Modi, the sensible Republican, told the local television station. Where, you know, they came out with their brown shirts and they intimidated people. They bullied them into silence. Modi, his family and supporters, faced threats from militia members and their allies, including militia member and mask opponent Carlos Zapata, over public health measures and what some saw as insufficient support for gun rights. Okay, here's some of that video.
That's how they're trying to paint you.
That had nothing to do with gun rights.
Did you threaten any of their family?
Not once.
Any of the militia, the Cottonwood Militia, anybody that's part of the Red, White, and Blueprint, you guys threatened anybody?
But how else do they alarm people? They alarm. See, leftists are all
about. Did you threaten anybody?
100% no.
Did any of these soccer moms threaten any of these other people's 100%
no.
It's insane, friends. It's absolutely insane that that's what the left-leaning, liberal, progressive, mainstream media does. They're going to paint anybody.
It's very alarming. It's very sensationalized, you know, but it's far from accurate.
Yeah.
So, and that wasn't about gun rights. It had nothing to do with gun rights. We had mentioned nothing of guns. That was not the issue on the table. The issue on the table was mask mandates for restaurants, mask mandates for businesses, lockdowns, and children. That's all it was. Nothing about guns. So,
so what you did with the Red, White, and Blueprint and all the amazing people that are part of your movement was literally break down, look at, do your own audits, look at the books, follow the money, how much is coming in. Mm-hmm. I know some of the episodes from the Red, White, and Blueprint, which YouTube just, I think, did they permanently ban you? Did they just delete the channel?
It comes and goes. You know, our podcast keeps getting taken down. We upload it back, but you can find it on Rumble. You can go to redwhiteandblueprint.com, you know, look for. If you want to take your county back, if you're looking for a way to take your city, county, village, town, state back, country back, follow the blueprint. I would say go watch the episodes. They're entertaining, but they're also educational. And this has been a learning as you go process for us. We didn't have a reference. We didn't have a book that we read on how to do this. You know, we're writing this book as it goes, you know. And coincidentally, we do have a book that's going to come out in the fall. But watch the documentary because I'm telling you, you're going to learn a lot about the process that we went through, the struggles, the obstacles that we overcame. And it's quite entertaining. And I'll tell you, the film crew that we had, the production crew, is incredible. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there are a lot of friends of mine. They're great, amazing people, all the people part of this movement. So literally, what you've done here in Shasta County is prove to the people who is actually standing up for the will of the people, who's actually being representative for their constituents of Shasta County. And you ousted the chairman of the Board of Supervisors for Shasta County.
We did. You know, there's a
got them recalled. That's what they're CNN, everybody, they're freaking out.
Yeah,
that this local, this small town in this Shasta County, this small group could get rid of, and he calls them a sensible Republican. There's rhinos out there. There's people that want to be career politicians.
I think we're far more sensible than Mr. Modi is, you know. And I mean, here's the thing, you know, for them, they have to come in with a narrative. They cannot come in and say, hey, what happened here? What went on? They're coming in because they've heard bits and pieces, because they've heard tidbits, they've heard sound bites, you know, so they're already coming in with an idea of what they want to see. And I think if they're honest, they've seen a whole different side of who we really are, you know, because we're regular people who just deeply care about this community. Listen, this relationship between constituents, a word you used, and elected officials, it's a sacred relationship. Okay, it really is. When I elect you to do a job, when I use this sacred voting process, and it really is sacred, you know, I believe that our founding fathers, you know, were divinely inspired when they gave us this beautiful process, you know, so it's a sacred process. That relationship is special, okay? And when that trust and confidence gets broken, you know, when it's irreparable at that point, something has to go, somebody has to go, and we the people aren't the ones to go. It's the elected official that must be ousted. And that's what we saw here. You know, he broke that relationship. He lost the trust and confidence of the people. And at the end of the day, he can say that it was this militia-led deal, which it was not. He can say that it was Carl Zapata's anger. It was not. At the end of the day, it was the voters. It was the voters that went to the polls, the voters that mailed in ballots, the voters that went and cast their vote against him.
Well, and that gives me some hope for voting in California because you know, but if you can win,
we were there every step of the way, David. Election. We were there every step of the way. We had people on the ground, people at the ballot boxes.
That's what it's going
to
take.
People at the registrar's office. You have to watch them 24 hours a day. You got to keep them honest. So
that's what it's going to take for fair elections, really anywhere, but especially in California's Mussolini. Mussolini's California. It's
hopefully not for long.
Hopefully not for long. Yeah, I hear there's a contender
from this area
that is going to try to get rid of Mussolini, and I'm excited. I'm going to be interviewing him, and we're going to be getting into that. But let's before we I don't want to get into too much of that right now. What's next? So you've gotten rid of Modi. Yeah. You've gotten rid of the chair. You got rid of one of the main people on the board.
Yeah, to me,
that was standing in the way.
That was the head of the snake.
Freedoms.
Sure.
And that's a statement to the other board members as well. Right?
It is. It sure is. I think the statement has been made that we are watching and we are in charge. I made this comment. I said, we're the people in charge now. I think I said it not so PG, you know, but before, you know. But
a little Braveheart style.
But the reality is that we are in charge. And that's not a bad thing to say. As Americans, that's what we should all say. We the people.
Yeah.
You know, we the people are in charge. You know, the first three words, right? We the people. So why is it that when we say that now, we are these insurrectionists with these right-wing, alt-right militia members, with these people that want to take over the government? No, listen, we are the people that represent America. So what's next? You know, I think what's next is we have an election cycle coming up this year. So we do have a couple of seats on the board that we have good candidates for that hopefully we're going to run and win with. And I think from this point on, we're just watching closely. We're involved. We're participatory in this process. We're no longer sitting on our hands, sitting at home, hoping that somebody else is doing that job.
Right.
Now we, the people, are part of the process.
Which has been the issue, America. That's been the issue for far too long, is that conservatives have been just believing and hoping that their elected representatives had their best interest in mind and at heart. Instead, then we find out that, well, they're taking a lot of money to just push these mandates and just push these things. And where's that money going?
Sure.
So what you've done here and what's taking place here, what do you see if you get the individuals that you want on the board and you've got a board that is actually representing the will of the people?
Sure.
What do you think Shasta County would look like? How different would it look
from the last two years? I think we're going to be – I'm not kidding when I say this. This is not hyperbole when I say this. We will be one of the wealthiest counties in the country. Okay, we will be a county that is resourceful, a county that is financially responsible, a county that is allowing people here to keep their money, to invest their money back into this community, back into their homes, back into their businesses. We're going to see businesses wanting to come here because it's going to be a great place to do commerce. We're going to see people carrying guns, you know, and this is not a bad thing. You know, I think
open carry
would be a great thing, you know, as other states do. I think really it's the American way. It's not a threatening thing. It's not, you know, that I'm grandstanding or wanting to use my gun. But as Americans, we have that right. The Second Amendment, you know, gives us that wonderful right to bear arms.
Is that something you could do in a county if the state laws are different, but a county says, hey, we're gonna have open carry?
A county under 200,000 people gives the power to the sheriff to be able to say,
wow, hey, okay,
you know, we can be an open carry county. So that's going to be up to the sheriff to decide if he wants to do that or not. You know, but for me, you know, the gun thing is great, but really my issue is financial responsibility in the county. You know, we're tired as Americans. We work real hard as business owners, and we want to be able to keep our money or decide where our money goes, or at least know how that money is being spent and understand that it's being spent responsibly and not being wasted away by bloated departments, you know, and really, I mean, we have problems here in Shasta County. We have a homeless problem. We have a drug problem that we need to address. You know, we cannot address these unless we are being responsible. So these days of this nepotism where people are getting these fat government contracts to, you know, to feed their own companies, you know, at the expense of Shasta County taxpayers, so those days are over. You know, we want an even playing field for everybody here. We want business to want to be able to come here and to raise families here. What a beautiful place. I mean, look around. We have the beautiful snow-capped mountains. We have the lakes. We have the rivers. You know, people should want to come here, you know, for the right reasons.
It's the part of California that it's not the beaches. People think of California and they think of the beaches, you know, the ocean, and that's a couple hours, you know, west of us. But this is a part of California that has attracted for decades people for wanting to retire because of the mountains, the hills. Sure. My wife, she hated moving to Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a year. It took over a year. Yeah, she's used to the hiking. She's used to the trails, you know, the river, the lakes, the beautiful weather. I mean, it gets hot, but then you get on the lake and it's cool. But then it's the politics that just ruins it. So literally what we're seeing right here, I hope and I pray that what we're seeing take place in Shasta County is something that trickles throughout not just this state. I'd love for California to turn red. I'd love for California to be led with some leadership that's actually from people that have common sense. You know, it should be common sense.
Isn't that
sense.
All we ask for?
It should be common sense that the smallest demographic of us are children that have the smallest possible chance of severe illness or death from this virus shouldn't be forced to cover their face 8 hours a day in school or get a vaccine.
100%. You know, that
should be common sense.
What we're really voting for, right, is not where we are right now, but for our future, for somebody that can take us into this future, because this isn't the last of the lockdowns. They say, oh, this is the last time. Oh, you know, we're done with these mask mandates. You know, this is over. No, they've said that before. And if it's not mask mandates today, it's going to be something else next year and something else the year after that. If it's not COVID, they're going to find something else, some other reason, some other channel by which they can control us. Because that's at the end of the day what they want. They want to control it. Control us. And the American person should not be tame. The American person, you know, was not created to be a sheep. You know, we were created to be successful. We were created to be creative and free thinkers and free people, you know, and you can't keep a free man down, you know, and this is exactly what they try to do. And this is why we're going to continue to fight, you know. So the fight is just starting. We may have won this battle and we can rest on our laurels for just a very short while, but we can't rest on our laurels forever. We have to get back to work and realize that the work is just now starting. The fight is just now starting because we're not going to stay on top very long if we don't. So
it's engaging. It's public. It's the public engaging at local politics. That is what's necessary in order to save this country, in order to make sure this country doesn't fall completely into socialist hands. Mm-hmm. And that starts at the local level, Carlos. So, absolutely. And I applaud you, brother. You and everybody that's been a part of what you're doing, the movement, you've proven that you can take your county back. And when you take your county back and you've got people on the Board of Supervisors that are actually enacting the will of the people, you're going to see some amazing things happen.
The sky's the limit now. Yeah. You know, I'm excited about it. I'm one of the people that was looking at moving out of state, but we've decided to stay here to just, you know, keep our roots here. And I'm excited for what's to come because this is going to be an amazing time. It's going to be, you know, even the people right now that are criticizing us or didn't like the process, didn't like the way that we did this, or maybe the things that we say. Trust me that in the next 5 years, they're going to see the results of this and they're going to be very happy that they stayed here and were able to bear those fruits. So I'm excited about this.
It's so good, brother. Yeah. I'm excited for you, man. I'm proud of you, brother. I love you.
Well, I appreciate it.
And everything you guys are doing, I hope that it just becomes something that that catches like wildfire to counties and individuals and Americans and patriots like you all over this country. That's absolutely what we need.
And if you don't mind, if I could just say it one more time. Listen, guys, I mean, there's been a lot of work that's gone into this thing. We're not asking for anything. We're not asking for money. We don't want anything other than just go and watch this blueprint. You know, spread it to your friends. Let them see it, because I really feel that this is the way that we're going to change America from the ground up. So go watch the documentary if you haven't seen it. Find it online. And we do have a podcast as well you can look up. But I'm telling you guys, you know, you're going to enjoy it, but you're going to learn a lot. Tell your friends about it, because we have to take our country back now. Yeah. We can't afford to wait. We don't have now. Time's not on our side here, you know, so we have to do something now.
Red, white, and blue project.com.
Red, white, and blueprint.
Redwhiteandblueprint.com. Yep. Redwhiteandblueprint.com.
Yes, sir.
Carlos, bless you, brother.
Thank you. I'm proud
of you, man. Keep on rocking. Friends, if you appreciated this, please share it. I mean, it's so important that we understand that you can take your city back. You can do it. It takes work. It takes effort. But if you want to see your town, your community, be one that is not operated or governed, maybe even by a political elite like Gavin Newsom. I mean, you can't get much farther to the left than Gavin. If you want to see your town thrive, then you want to follow what these guys have done with the Red, White, and Blueprint. So God bless you. Please share this with 25, 50, 100 friends. And don't forget to get over to MyPillow.com. Find yourself there something nice and use that code Trump2020 for the best discounts. He'll know you heard it here. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
My name is David J. Harris, Jr. Join me and millions of Americans around the country as we embrace liberty and freedom. This is the David J. Harris Jr. Show.